long to follow Thee, daily Thy cross to bear, and count all else, whate'er it be, unworthy of our care. You know, many of the hymns that we sing are in the form of prayers, and it tells us in the Word of God that we're to sing with the understanding. You know, these aren't just words, light words, but these words have real meaning. And I think it's a very serious thing when we sing some of these hymns to realize that they are prayers. And I trust as we sing this hymn this morning that we understand it in that way and that it truly comes from our heart. Think about the words that we're going to sing. I trust, young people, it's the desire and exercise of each of our hearts to daily follow the Lord Jesus. First of all, the verse that we began with last night in the book of Hosea. One book after Daniel. Hosea chapter 10. And just that part of verse 12 that we read the other evening. For it is time to seek the Lord. And then I want to read some verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Well, it's not so much my thought to speak on these verses in Ecclesiastes, but I did begin again with this verse, as I said the other evening. It's perhaps our lead verse, that scripture which we can write across these talks that we're sharing together. It is time to seek the Lord. And last night in the Gospel, we sought to impress upon our souls the need of seeking the Lord for salvation and how time is short. Time is running out for the Gospel to go forth and souls to turn to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. But I want to impress this verse upon our souls as we begin to speak to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who by the grace of God have come to know Him as our Savior. Because maybe there's someone here and you say, well, I haven't really taken the time for the things of God like I ought to. I really haven't taken the time to follow the Lord Jesus the way I should. We won't turn to it, but there's a verse in the book of Peter, I think it's 1 Peter, that speaks of the rest of his time. Because, you know, maybe we look back and we can't recover time. Time is gone. If we waste time, it's gone. If we have squandered time in the past, that's gone. But, you know, we do have the rest of our time from this moment on. And, you know, when we speak of stewardship, we think of it in connection with temporal things, maybe even in connection with our holding fast to the truth of God that's been entrusted to us and so on. But you know, it has to do with our time as well. Are we using our time wisely for the Lord? We're only given a certain amount of time. Now tomorrow, if the Lord leaves us here, we're going to develop this a little more. Tomorrow we're going to entitle our talk, Time Management, and how we ought to manage our time in the practical things of life and the things of God. But we spoke last night of God's timetable in connection with the person of His Son, in connection with the work that's been accomplished, in connection with that which is yet future and the judgments and so on, and those who are going to stand at the great white throne and so on. And again, the need of taking advantage of the present for salvation. But today I'd like to speak in connection with God's timetable for the believer, in connection with the purposes of God as to the timetable that God has in our lives. Then tomorrow we'll get a little more specific as to how we are to manage our time. Because, you know, young people, I suppose when we're young, patience is not really one of our virtues. Man is not naturally a patient creature. I know to some degree, some have more patience than others. And if you were to talk to my mother, she would tell you, Jim wanted everything yesterday. He was not the most patient of my four children. And so I'm not a very patient person. And young people, as we take up these scriptures and these principles in these meetings, I don't want you to think I've arrived. What I'm going to say in these meetings is as much for me, or perhaps more for me, than it is for you. But as I've got a little older, these things have at least exercised my own soul. I suppose it takes us our whole life to learn these things. And God has to pass us through many experiences to teach us patience. I just say this a little aside. You know, there are certain things you should never pray for. One is patience. Because if you pray for patience, you can expect some tribulation. Some trials in your life. You know, there's only one way to learn patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Now, we need to pray for grace in the trials and difficulties and circumstances of life. But don't pray for patience. And don't be like the sister who prayed for patience and wanted it right away. No, we learn patience through the experiences of life. And so I'd like to take up seven things, and it's not an exhaustive list, but seven things that we need to seek to have patience in connection with God's dealings with us and in His ways with us. Before we do that, I'd like to just very briefly turn to three scriptures that I trust will exercise us as we take up these seven things. Three scriptures that bring before us that which ought to characterize us every day as we go through the ups and downs and the circumstances of life. Before we turn to these scriptures, I'll just say that some of you will perhaps, as we read these three scriptures, remember that these three scriptures were listed in Truth for Young Christians some time ago with a very, very short explanation. And it's very interesting, a young sister whom I'm very close to and her family, and who knows me very well, she photocopied that little article on a piece of colored cardstock and made it into a nice little wall hanging and sent it to me. And I have it hanging over my desk at home, and I really appreciated it. You know, it's easy for some of us to put out the truth to others, but the sword cuts two ways for the hearer and the speaker alike. And so again, I haven't arrived as to these things, but perhaps we can take them up for your exercise and for mine as well. Let's turn first of all to Exodus chapter 14. We could quote these, but I think it's helpful if we have the exercise of turning to and fro in our Bibles, not only familiarizes us with the Word of God, but perhaps keeps us alert in our seats. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then a verse in Ruth chapter 3. This is Naomi speaking to her daughter-in-law Ruth. Verse 18. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And then one more portion in the 46th Psalm, in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Well, just these three little expressions. Stand still, sit still, and be still. You know, they are three things that are contrary to human nature, naturally speaking. But I believe there are three things for us to that are very good for us to learn as we go through the experiences of the Christian pathway. Again, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we find that there's a time and a place for everything. And you know, as we said last night, God has a perfect timetable. God has a perfect timetable in your life and mine. And I believe, young people, that the younger we can learn this, the less frustrated we'll be in God's ways with us. You know, before I was a teenager, I couldn't wait to be 13 years of age. Maybe there's some children here and you're just waiting for that day when you'll be a teenager finally. Well, then the day came when I turned 13. I thought, oh, I have the world by the tail now. I'm a teenager. You know, I couldn't wait till I was 16. You know why? Because I thought if I could just drive. And so the days and the months and those 3 years seemed to crawl by as I waited till I was 16. In our day, you could go in and if you'd been driving on the farm roads and the back roads around the country, you could go in and if you could parallel park and write a written test, you could walk out on your 16th birthday with a full license. You can't do that anymore. The day after my birthday, I had a full license to drive. I thought, oh, this is marvelous beyond belief. Then you know what? I wanted to be 25 because I realized there's certain things you can't do till you're 25. After I got to be 25, I wish time didn't go so fast. You know, we're impatient about things, aren't we? And perhaps we spend our whole life waiting for something, something that we think if we could just get to or grasp at, oh, things will be wonderful. But I believe in the things of God that we need to realize that He has a time and a purpose for everything in our lives. And we need to run with patience. I know the word really there is endurance. But we need to run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, it takes endurance to be patient, doesn't it? You know, in the book of James, it talks about patience 7 times. My mother always thought that was appropriate and significant as well, because she felt her James just needed to learn some patience in his life. Well, here we find that first of all, Moses encourages the people of God to stand still. You know, there was nothing they could do in the circumstance. The enemy was pursuing behind. The Red Sea was before them, and I've been in this very area of the world. And it must have been daunting to realize the enemy was coming after them, wanting to drag them back into bondage and slavery, and to look out over the sea and realize they were caught, they were trapped. And young people, don't you feel that way sometimes in your Christian life? There's nothing you can do. But you know, there is one thing you can do. You can trust. And you know, there's a great reward for trusting. Cast not away therefore thy confidence, for of such is great recompense of reward. And so it seemed foolish to tell them to stand still. You'd think Moses would tell them to turn around and take on the enemy. No, they were no match for the Egyptians. But the Lord was going to fight for them. I just want to encourage you, when you come to those points, you know, sometimes we do more damage by trying to help the situation. You know, Peter tried to help a situation. He had a sword and he cut off a servant of the high priest's ear. You know, he only added to the problem. He didn't help it. He only ended up giving the Lord more work to do. If he just stood still, the Lord had a purpose and a timetable in it all. And so stand still. And then to sit still. We don't like to sit still. You know, anybody who's got young children here today wishes they could teach those children to sit still. To sit still. But you know, we need to learn that as the children of God. Naomi encouraged Ruth. There was perhaps a very difficult situation. Ruth didn't understand how things were going to work out and how the advice her mother-in-law was giving her was really going to work out for blessing. But Naomi said, sit still, my daughter. How could she encourage Ruth to sit still? Because she knew that there was a man in control. That Boaz was not going to rest until things were brought to fruition according to what he saw was best. And our Boaz, the Lord Jesus, is working all things after the counsel of his own will. In your life, yes indeed, in your life, all things work together for good. And it certainly was the truth in Ruth's case, didn't it? What a blessing there was in the end, because she sat still. The children of Israel were delivered from the enemy because they stood still. Ruth was brought into relationship with Boaz because she sat still. and then just to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, I say, there's a tremendous blessing by just standing still, sitting still, and being still. I'm not saying it's easy, young people. I'm not saying it's easy at all. I'm a doer. I'm a get-it-done-now type of person. But you know, God doesn't always work that way. God works with us to teach us to lean on Himself and to trust Himself. Well, as I say, I want to look at seven different things that bear out what I'm saying. We're going to look at some scriptures. Now, young people, we're going to take up some things that perhaps are going to hit a few nerves as we go along here. And I've prayed much about many of these things, and I trust you'll bear with me. And again, I'm not pointing the finger at any age group. I'm not pointing the finger at young men or young women. I've got to point the finger here and leave it there. But these things are the truth of the Word of God. I want to talk first of all about God's timetable in our lives concerning a partner, concerning marriage. And to realize that God has an order for us, and then that when we are willing to wait His time and follow His order, there's blessing in our lives. Let's read a couple of scriptures. This might seem like strange scriptures to read. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, young people, before I read this verse, I just want you for a moment to put your pens down. And I want you to pay utmost attention to these verses that I'm going to read in this chapter. Just going to give you a minute to just put things down and just to focus your attention, because what we are about to take up in the next few minutes is something that not only burdens my own soul, it burdens your parents, it burdens your brethren who love you, and it is a grief and a burden to the heart of God the Father and your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is serious beyond belief. Verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now I want to read a portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to give you time to find it. And then I want you to focus on what we're going to read from the Word of God. And verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your which are God's. You know, God has an order, young people, in relationship between a man and a woman. And sexual relationships outside the marriage tie are forbidden in the Word of God. And it is so serious to have sexual relationships outside the marriage tie that it does not say a scar shall he get. You know, we talk about the scars of sin, and sins leave many scars, but not fornication or adultery. It leaves a wound. You know, a wound is something that hasn't healed over. And it is the one sin. Moral sin is the one sin that leaves a mark on a person for the rest of their life. That's why it's so serious. It spoils the picture of Christ in the church. And it is a very, very serious thing when that picture is spoiled. I realize that sometimes there are those who've waited a long time for marriage. You know, I feel sorry for sisters who get on in their 20s, up to 30. Godly sisters, they're not married. I feel sorry for them. You know whose fault it is? It's the fault of the brothers. You know, it says in Proverbs, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." You know, I get very provoked and exasperated with young brothers who come to me and they're not so young. They're getting on and they're near 30 and they say, "You know, I want to get married. I'm praying about it." Yes, that's wonderful to pray about it. But if you never get off your knees and open your eyes and do something about it, it won't happen. You're the one that has to find a wife. But I do want to say this, that moral evil is never justified. A wound and dishonor shall he get. And we read here in 1 Corinthians, "Whoso findeth a wife," I'm sorry, "your bodies are not your own. You're bought with a price." That body was not given to you to do with as you like. Don't let your body go before the marriage. Keep thyself pure. Now, what I'm going to read and say next, I prayed much about. It's a little apart from our subject of God's timetable in our lives, but I want to back up a few verses in this chapter. And I want to say something, and this is just a little parenthesis, but I do want to say something, and I hope I can say it, because it burdens my soul more than you can know. Let's just back up in this chapter to the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers." Now I'm going to read this next section in Mr. Darby's translation. "Nor those who make women of themselves, nor those who abuse themselves with men." Do you get the point, young people? Do you get the point? It is an abomination for men and women to practice homosexuality or be part of what the world refers to today as the gay community. You know, the buzzword is tolerance. I do not tolerate that because God calls it an abomination. Don't ever, in your frustration of there not seeming to be a natural relationship forming between yourself as a young brother with a young sister or a young sister with a young brother, don't ever turn to this lifestyle. It's serious. You know, I have heard recently of young people who sat in this very building who have turned to that lifestyle. I beg of you not to do it. God has a plan. God has an order for your life. And if you are willing to wait His time and in patience just submit to what God has for you, I'm not saying it's easy, but if you are just willing to submit to that, God has a blessing for you one way or the other. I want to speak now of the second thing. We're going to have to speak of these things very quickly. I want to speak of the second thing by just turning over to the First Corinthians 7. Just pack a page. Verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Well, I want to talk now about our vocation in life or a job. You know, sometimes we wonder what the Lord has for us in this sphere. And you know, sometimes, and I know it's frustrating, sometimes in the day in which we live, things just don't open up the way we would like. Sometimes we're encouraged in high school to get into a certain line of things to prepare us for college or university because it seems that there are jobs in that particular market or that particular area. And you know, you spend your time taking certain courses, you get a certain degree at college or university, and in the meantime, the job market has swung. And you say, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand what God is saying to me. I thought I had the mind of the Lord in it. Well, you know, God does have something for each one of us. But what I want to impress upon our souls in seeking God's mind and waiting His time for Him to open up something in our lives as to a vocation, as to a job, as to a calling in a practical way, I want to encourage you above all to get into a line of things where you can abide in that calling with Him. You know, there are certain jobs and certain lines of things where you really can't abide in the same calling with God. Certain lines of things where you'll be asked to do things that are perhaps dishonest, asked to tell lies, asked to do things that you know that do not please the Lord Jesus. And so I want to encourage you in that regard. I'll give you just a little quick story. Some time ago, it must be 4 years ago or so, I lose track of time, but I got a call from a couple who live a couple of hours north of us, never met this couple before, and through some literature, they had some contact with Bible Truth Publishers. John Kaiser, knowing that Smith Falls was the closest assembly to where these people came from, lived, he gave them my name. I happened to be home when they called. And we encouraged them after a couple of phone conversations to come down, spend some time in our home and attend some of the assembly meetings. And they became very exercised as to taking their place at the Lord's table as they came again and again and they drunk in the precious truth of God. But you know, they were in a line of things in a business that I knew was going to become a question if they ever asked for their place at the Lord's table. Before they asked for their place at the Lord's table, the question of their vocation, their business, was raised in a way that I wish it hadn't, and yet in retrospect, the Lord allowed it. And you know, when they realized this, that brother said to me, he said, we want to be at the Lord's table. And if we have to give up our business to be at the Lord's table, that is a sacrifice that we are willing to make. And they did. At great sacrifice financially. You know, young people, I've never been put in that position. I've never had to choose between my business and the Lord's table. I don't know what I would have done. I really don't know because I've never been put to that test. But I just want to encourage you, while you're making these choices now, to realize that God has something for you. And maybe you're frustrated because it doesn't seem to be working out as quickly as you had hoped. Maybe you're frustrated because the job interviews haven't worked out, or you haven't got accepted in that school that you had hoped to, or that course that you had hoped you would. But let's learn to wait God's time in these matters and seek His mind. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I want to talk, in making this third point, I want to talk about sometimes the impatience that we all have in getting things comfortably arranged in the material things of this life. Now, young people, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a mortgage or take out a loan. For many years, I had a mortgage on my home. If you can avoid that, I don't know how you can, but if you can avoid that, all the better. I've had business loans in the past when I was in business. I've had vehicle loans. But notice what this verse says. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And I think there's many young people who have got into a great deal of financial difficulty and who have lived under the bondage of it because they wanted at the beginning of their life, they wanted to have a 4-bedroom home with a 3-car garage. They wanted to not just have a good vehicle. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a good roadworthy vehicle, but they wanted to have 2 vehicles. And they wanted to have a boat. And they wanted to have this. And they wanted to have that. Again, I'm not condemning those things. But I'm just saying, be very careful. Wait God's time. If God provides things for us along the way, thank God for those temporal mercies. And He's given us many. And we can use those things for His glory. And those of us who have had families and young people are thankful for the mercies and things that God has allowed us to have to use as recreation and digression for our families and so on. But be careful. Some of you perhaps have just ended your college or university or your apprenticeship for some trade. Some of you are anticipating marriage. Or you're just starting out on that road of life. You know, it's good to have humble beginnings. My wife and I, for the first year of our lives, lived in an apartment that had wood heat. And if you didn't get up 3 times in the night to stoke the stove, you could just about see your breath in the morning. You know, I look back, we had good times in that apartment. It was fun. It was fun. You know, I drove a car, a couple of my first cars. On a frosty morning, you had to stick a screwdriver in the carburetor and spray it with WD-40 to get it going. You had to tinker with it on Saturday to get it running for the rest of the week. You know, those were good times. I'm not saying you can go back to that. I know cars are different than they used to be. I'm not saying you can go back to that, but I'm just saying, be patient when it comes to the temporal things of God. Let's look at the fourth thing now. I'm going to read a couple of verses in Isaiah. Again, I'm just noticing these things very quickly and leaving them for your further exercise and meditation. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And then notice the verse or two in the 40th chapter. Chapter 40 and verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, I want to speak of this in connection with the governments of this world. You know, I know that in the United States they're gearing up for an election. And you know, we need to be concerned and to be intelligent bystanders as to what is going on in the world, but we don't need to be overwhelmed by it. Aware, but not overwhelmed. And you know, sometimes I believe that Christians have jumped in the political arena because they're not willing to just wait God's time, to realize that He has a plan. And so we're taught in many Christian circles today that we're a moral force to change the world, and that we're not doing our Christian duty unless we get out there and we vote and we get involved in politics or we run for office or that kind of thing. But young people, are we willing to just leave that in the hand of God? You know, it says here, a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in judgment. You know, one of the great difficulties with the Corinthian brethren is they were trying to reign, but it wasn't the time yet. They were impatient to get things sorted out. And Paul said, I would that you did reign, because if you really were reigning, we'd be reigning with you. And Christ would be reigning. But you know, Christ is not reigning yet, but He will reign, and we're going to reign with Him. And then the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. Then there'll be equality and equity and justice. We can't expect righteousness in an unrighteous world. We can't expect equality and justice in a world where the Prince of Peace has been rejected. Not till the King of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings will these things be practically true in this world. Are you and I just willing to leave that in His hand and to live for His glory? Now, He does want the place of reigning in our hearts. We sometimes sing a hymn, Reign Thou Within Our Hearts Alone. We sometimes sing that hymn, Lord of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. But that's in our hearts. We need to give Him that place as Lord and reigning in our lives. But He is not reigning now. The kingdoms of this world will be given to the Lord Jesus in a coming day. He is the Lord of the earth, and He will take back those things. But now Satan is the god and prince of this world, and this is man's day. Oh, it's true, the Lord Most High does rule in the kingdoms of men. He's moving everything, and the realization of that, I believe, can give us patience to wait God's time in these matters. Do things seem out of control on the world stage? From a natural standpoint, they do. But if we see it from God's perspective, He's again working all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, men and women on the world stage are just puppets in God's hand. God is orchestrating everything, and they're allowed to do nothing apart from Him allowing it. And so let's learn to leave those things in His hand. Now let's go very quickly to the 37th Psalm. In verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And then I'm going to read a couple of verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want to speak of this in connection with our prayer life. We're going to speak tomorrow a little bit about prayer and the need for taking time for prayer. But I want to speak of this in connection with those requests that we make. Are we willing to submit to His timetable in our lives? You know, sometimes when we pray, the Lord answers our prayer. If it's for our good and blessing and according to His will, He says yes. The Lord always answers our prayers, but it's in different ways. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no, if it's not according to His mind, and if it's not for our good and blessing. And we need to seek grace to accept that. But you know, sometimes I get ahead of the Lord. I'm impatient. I'm impulsive. Sometimes I get ahead of the Lord, and sometimes it's the right thing, but the wrong time. And He has to say, wait a while. It says, wait on the Lord, or wait for the Lord. You have that expression a number of times in the Word of God. And are we willing to commit our way unto the Lord, to trust in Him and let Him bring it to pass? If we do, it may not be to pass as quickly as we thought, and it may not be to pass in quite the way that we hoped. but it will be again for our good and blessing. And I believe there's much frustration in our Christian pathway when we don't practically carry this out. We're not just willing to wait His timetable. And that's why I read in 1 Peter 5, because we often quote or even put this as a motto on our walls, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But the secret to doing that, young people, is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God to submit to His timetable in our lives. And the minute we do that, then we can cast our care on the Lord and leave it there. Not cast it on the Lord and take it back up again, but to leave it there. So again, I want to impress upon you, you pray about something, but then submit to His timetable, which is perfect. Now I want to speak of the Lord's coming. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the, it should more accurately be, read, the patience of the Christ. You know, we talk about longing for the Lord's coming, and young people, that's true. You know, the older I get, the more I long for the Lord's coming. The few more little maladies and aches and pains I get, and the more burdens and cares of life that seem to press on my soul, the more I long for the Lord's coming. And that's right. We need to look up every day and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. But you know, we need to wait for patience too. With patience. You know, we have this hope. And our hope isn't a reality yet. And we're saved by hope, as we read here. But you know, we need to have the patience of the Christ. What does that mean? You know, the Lord Jesus has been waiting patiently for over 2,000 years to receive His people and to have His bride. And we need to enter into that and realize that God has purposes and a perfect timetable in leaving us here. And there's many things connected with that which we don't have time to speak of. But I just want to say, let's long for the Lord's coming, but let's do it with patience. One more scripture. And this I really want to impress upon our souls as well. And it's in Ecclesiastes, back in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? You know, we've spoken of many things, and maybe there's someone here and you say, well, I'm just so frustrated. It's all right for you, Jim, to talk about these things. All right for you to talk about patience and waiting for the Lord's time and His perfect schedule in my life, but I'm ready to end it all. You know, the suicide rate is going up in the Western world at an alarming speed. You know, we're never justified in taking our own life. It's a very serious thing. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? And I just want to encourage you, if there's someone here and you're at the end of your rope, oh, taking your own life is not the answer. You know, the Philippian jailer was at the end of his rope. And he took out a sword to kill himself. And Paul and Silas said, do thyself no harm. You think of the blessing that man would have missed if he'd taken his own life. You know, I just want to say this too. I've been asked this question more than once. Is it possible for a true believer to take their own life? Yes. Is it possible that there are those in the glory and to be in heaven who have taken their own life? Yes. I'll give you a scriptural example. You know, I prayed much about this one time when this question arose concerning a situation. I said, Lord, there must be an example in Scripture. God gives us examples. You know, Samson is a man of faith. It's confirmed to us in Hebrews chapter 11. But he said, let me now die with these uncircumcised Philistines. And he pulled the pillars down upon himself and those that were in the house. And he took his own life. He is a man of faith. But it doesn't justify suicide. And so I just want to say at the end of the meeting, we've taken up these things so very quickly. But remember, God has a perfect timetable concerning every aspect of your life, practically and spiritually. Let's say,
Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth. May we submit to His will in our lives. There'll be true blessing following. Our God and Father, we pray for blessing on thy word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.